the fifth chapter, Mark. And we're going to read a few verses, verses 1 through 7, and then drop down and read verses 15 through 17. I'm going to read the King James Version, and whatever version you're reading, you are invited to read along. Today is your victory. Today you will be set free. Hallelujah. Today, God says, I will set you free. And they came over to the other side, reading verse 1, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him, verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And then drop down to verse 15, and it reads, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now I'm going to read verse 17 again. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They were praying that Jesus would leave. They were praying that Jesus would leave. And today the Lord says, taking the shackles off. Today we find that in life, and it's not a new thing, there are so many things that bind us up. Most of us have probably never been physically bound. Most of us have probably never been put in chains, shackles on our feet, chains on our hands, maybe the hands and feet chained together. You've seen prison scenes, you've seen the jail scenes, and my assumption is maybe you've never been in prison for a long time, but there are those who have, and whenever you're in prison and you're transported, they bind and shackle you. It's Black History Month, so many of us go back to how our ancestors were bound with chains and they couldn't run. The reason for the chains is it prevented you from running too fast. It prevented you from kicking up your leg to defend yourself. It prevented you from defending yourself. It prevented you from being on the offense to get away. So they bound you up. But there was another reason for the chains. The chains made you doubt anything good about yourself. But when you were bound up, you belonged to somebody else. When you were bound, you lost your sense of freedom. You lost your sense of power. You lost your sense of victory. When you're bound by something, it takes away your joy for some people. It takes away the opportunity for you to speak and speak confidently. It takes away for you to even think properly. When you are bound, you have given control over to somebody else.
Mercy, Lord.
We all got illustrations. We all got ideas in our head that the binding comes from so many different ways. So today, I come to tell you, I'm not going to talk about a physical binding. I'm not here to talk about a physical binding in the chains and the fetters. I'm not here to talk about that today. I'm here to talk about, because of the fetters and because of the chains, how it has bound our mind. And yet, even though we don't have them on, we still walk around like we're bound.
Mercy, Lord.
As we enter this period of fasting and prayer, we're reminded how we have had the shackles taken off.
Thank you.
They've been taken off. We have been set free. Oh, y'all don't want to shout today. Somebody ought to say thank you, Lord. Somebody ought to say hallelujah, Jesus. You have set me free. No longer bound.
No longer bound. Hallelujah.
But yet, we still walk around sometimes like we're bound. And so today, we're just going to touch on one phase of many bindings that we have, but we're going to be loose today for one of the things that binds us over and over. So it says taking the shackles off. So that we have an understanding. These shackles in the scripture talks about the fetters, the F-E-T-T-E-R-S, the fetters. It means the padeh. The padeh in those days, the fetters that they're talking about in our scripture, it's a shackle or a chain for the feet and the ankles. It means that they bind you. So one, so you don't hurt nobody else. But number two, so you don't hurt yourself. Oh, I grew up in an era. We didn't talk about the physical shackles, but they talked about the straitjacket. Mm-hmm. Whenever there was somebody that their mind was going astray or they were having some emotional challenge, they would put them in a straitjacket. And they would tie it up so that their arms could harm themselves. That, I don't know about you, but in this scripture, I think they needed a straitjacket.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you something, that it wouldn't have mattered whether it would have been a straight jacket or a wrinkled jacket or whatever. It never would have mattered, because this individual was bound by demonic spirits. And because there were so many, nothing could hold him.
My Lord.
Says shackles, the fetters, something that confines or restrains, a restraint. It says, the third definition says, to restrain from motion, action, or progress. When we're bound with fetters, when we're bound with shackles, we lose all sense of progress. We lose all sense of action. Our mind gets to a place that we can't even think what to do.
Mercy, Lord.
Some synonyms, it says, what is the restriction? You want to curb limitation, in chain, the pinion, to bind fast, this pinion to bind fast. I submit to you today that there are many of us who are listening to me right now. Many of us, we are bound. We are bound fast by the fetters that are affecting our mind, that are not physical, but they're spiritual. They're not physical, but they're mental. They're not physical, but they're holding us back from walking in the freedom that Jesus wants us to be. I just got to say to us, we walk in victory by the hand of the Almighty. Yes. We have been set free. We are healed, delivered, and made complete. So we walk. So there are no fetters. There are no shackles. There are no chains. We know the truth that can bind us. But all yet today, how many of us still hold on to those things which limit our abilities? So today, the first thing we're going to do today is we look at this opportunity, we say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to realize that the first thing, taking the shackles off. And in order to take the shackles off, the first thing we need to do is the fetters, and we understand that the fetters, they do what? They can't stop you. Somebody say the fetters, the shackles, they can't stop me.
The fetters can't stop me.
They can't stop you. They can't stop y'all. Somebody, you need to say that with like power and conviction. They can't stop you. So that's your deliverance already. I thank Mr. and Sister Lisa who gave our testimony. She said, I looked at all these things and I looked at all the reasons. And then I finally came to a realization that guess what? It still can't take away my joy. It still can't stop me. That's what you said, Sister Lisa. The fetters, the shackles, they can't stop me because I still got my joy. And here's what, look at what it said. Look at what it said in verses 3-5. It said, who had this dwelling? Who had this dwelling among the tombs? This man in the gathering, this man had his dwelling among the tombs and said, no man could bind him. No, not with chains. He was so distraught. He was so caught up in what the demons were possessing him that nobody could stop him. Said, because he had been what? Often bound. Said, we tried. Said, we tried with the fetters and chains. The chains have been plucked asunder and the fetters, what? Broken into pieces. Say, oh, we put him on him, bam, he snapped him. We put him on him, bang, he snapped him. We put him on, but yet he broke him again. We finally gave up. We finally gave up. Said, they could not bind him. And he said, because of where he was, that always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying, cutting himself with stone. Well, he didn't have physical shackles, but he still had some fetters. He still had shackles over his mind. He had shackles that were on the inside. The demons were in possession. So he was so messed up that even he wanted to hurt himself.
My God.
We know that's not a new thing, right? We know that's not a new thing, right? We know the Bible tells us that there was some shackles, y'all. There was some shackles, y'all. There was some fetters, y'all, that if we go to Judges 16 and 21, we realize that there was one of the great prophets, or one of the great men who was one of the strongest men that ever lived. What? He was bound in fetters. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about Samson, right? I'm talking about Samson. Samson had gone through a period that he was so full of himself. He was so full of himself that he started denying what God told him to do.
My Lord.
He was so full of himself. And you know that he started telling them what was going on. And as he shared with them what was going on, we realized that what? He got himself into a situation.
Yeah.
Anybody remember what the situation was?
Got his hair cut off.
He got his hair cut off. Somebody, he got his hair cut off. And because he got his hair cut off, he what? Lost his power. Nobody could defeat him. He killed more people than anybody else. Samson was just a mighty warrior, but then he played with the wrong one. And every now and then, we ought to just talk to God, y'all. We ought not to be talking to nobody else.
My God.
But once again, the Bible shows that Samson fell in love with a woman. And this woman he fell in love with didn't mean him no good.
Right.
And she rubbed his hair, and she rubbed his hair, and she rubbed his hair. As I talk fast, y'all think fast, and she rubbed his hair until he felt that was good, and he told her his power. Mm. And they came and took him, and then they bound him in fetters, y'all. They shackled him. They put him in a place that he could do. And when they shackled him, they plucked his eye off, right? They plucked his eye off. But I come to tell you that even though Samson was in shackles, and even though they had him and they took his eye and they put him in fetters, and they put fetters of brass, y'all. They fetters used to be made of a different kind of twine. They made brass fetters for Samson that he could do what? He couldn't do nothing. He couldn't break them. They were going to hold him forever. But I come to tell you, if you read the rest of the story, that there came a point that even why he was in shackles, even why he didn't have no hair, even why they made fun of him, there came a point that Samson said, oh God, remember me. And when Samson said, remember me, he said, oh, little boy, take me over here, lad. Put me between the two pillars and the pillars house, and they were going to make fun of him, y'all. And have you ever been made fun of?
My God.
Have they ever laughed at you because you believe in this Jesus? Have they ever laughed at you because you go to church all the time? And every time somebody say to you, oh, well, why you do that? Well, I just stay home. That's laughing at you, y'all. When they don't believe what you believe, they're making fun of you. That's laughing at you, y'all. That's a form of laughing without laughing. And he said, put me between the pillars.
Mm-hmm.
Just put me between the pillars. And when Samson was between the pillars, he said, now I got to get these fetters off of me. I got to take them off. And he took them off because he said, oh, Lord, remember me.
Yes.
Samson started talking about one of the things that binds us. He started talking about the forgiveness, y'all. The forgiveness, mm-hmm. y'all. He was unforgiving, and he knew he needed forgiveness. And when he asked for forgiveness, and I'm going somewhere with this, he was able to restore. And then the shackles came off. Because even though they bound him, God gave him the strength to kill more people than he had ever killed in his entire mm-hmm. life. You don't have to believe me. Look at what it said. If we go to the book of Acts, the book of Acts in verse 26, 16 and verse 26, we find that this thing about being bound, we know the story. We know the story. What Paul and Silas, what they were in prison, right? And while they were in prison, y'all, they had shackles and fetters on them, and they were chained with the prison. Why? Because we don't want them to get away. They will never outrun us because we got them bound. But it said what? When they were in the shackles.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately the doors would open and everyone's bands were loose. See, I come to tell you today, there's a truth and it applies to you. The fetters, the shackles will come off. The shackles can't stop you. I don't care what's happened in the past. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care what you're going through. The shackles can't stop you.
Yes.
You got freedom. You got freedom. If you don't believe me, you can even go to the book of Colossians, y'all. The book of Colossians in the fourth chapter. And it's going to tell you again. It's just a reminder of the power of our God. The power of our God. Verses 4 through 16. We wrote the writer of Colossians. He said, and this is the epistle read among you, because that it be read also in the church of Laodicea, and that is likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. What? The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Paul say, remember my bonds. Remember how I was chained. Remember, I might still be bound now, but remember how there was a time when I didn't have to leave, but my shackles fell off. The earthquake. Paul say, remember the things that I've done and what I've done. This is to set you free.
My God.
Say, grace be to you. So that's a reminder that everything Paul talked about pointed to Christ. And because it pointed to Christ, we remember that he came to set us free. We're not going through these things today. We're going through a process to remember that God has set us free. We're no longer bound by sin. We're no longer defeated by sin. We're no longer controlled by sin. The shackles can't stop us. Sin can't stop you. Doubt can't stop you. Fear can't stop you.
Thank you, Lord.
The fetters, the shackles. So when you go through something this week and you go through something next week, just say to yourself, the shackles can't stop me.
My God. My God.
And you will have the victory. The next thing we need to understand, what are some of the shackles? What are the fetters? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is one of the fetters. Unforgiveness. If you lack forgiving somebody or refuse to forgive somebody, that's a shackle in your life.
Yes.
It puts a thing in your life that blocks some of your victory. Oh, you don't have to believe me. We read about it this week. If you read and studied with us this week on It Is Finished, the first thing that Jesus talked about was what? Father, go to Luke 23 and 34 and look at what it said. Luke 23 and 34. Luke 23, he said, look at what Jesus said while he was yet going through. Jesus said what? Father, forgive them. Forgive them for what? They know not what they do. While he was on the cross, y'all, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus said, I ain't going to have no unforgiveness that's going to stop me. He's telling us the same thing. Don't let unforgiveness of anything that's happened in your life. I don't care how bad you think it is. You still got to forgive. That's the commandment of the word. He said, don't let unforgiveness stop you. Don't let it shackle you. When you have unforgiveness in your life, it puts a shackle on you. When you have unforgiveness in your life, it blocks you. When you have unforgiveness in your life and you can't progress, when you have unforgiveness in your life, you can't do some of the things that you need to do. You don't have to be. It also talked this week in what? Psalms 25:18. Psalms 25, he said, Lord, when David was praying, he said, oh Lord, look upon my affliction and my pains and forgive all my sins. He didn't say, okay, God, I just want you to forgive this one. He said, forgive all my sins. We have sins we don't even know we committed. There are sins of omission, okay, that we don't even know. You have sins. We need to confess all of our sins. Because unforgiveness hinders and blocks us.
My God.
It blocks us, y'all. It blocks us, y'all. Now, I know there's a teaching out there to say, once you've been forgiven, you don't have to confess anything. That's not what the word says. When you know that you've sinned, you need to ask for forgiveness. The word says that he is faithful and just to do it. Because of who he is and his love for us, he will do it. You can say, well, he knows I'm going to do it in the future. No, because he doesn't want us to do it. And when we do it, we got to ask for unforgiveness. We got to ask for forgiveness. If not, we're walking in unforgiveness, which what? Is a fetter. You don't have to believe me. What did Jeremiah say? Jeremiah said something that was just so profound. Back when the children of Israel were going through all of this craziness in their life. Jeremiah said in chapter 31 and verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying. So you're going to teach it. Know the Lord, but they shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. God has through eternity said, I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. No matter how many times the children of Israel went back and forth, up and down with God and disobeyed God, he said his promise was, I will. He said it was, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins cleanse you. Thank so what you, God is saying to us today is that because of his forgiveness, because he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because we will confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us. So this fetter of unforgiveness should not be about our lives. However, I need to warn us today, there are too many of us that walk around in unforgiveness.
My God.
And can I just share it this way? And I know we don't like to hear it. When we walk around in unforgiveness, we choose to be bound.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
My God.
We choose to say, here, shackle my arms. We choose to say, put them on my feet. We choose to say, oh, matter of fact, I don't want to forgive. So you might as well connect them together because I'm never going to forget. I'm never going to forgive because it hurt too much. And so what happens is God still loves us. God has still saved us. Our salvation is free, but we don't walk free. Mm. So instead of walking in the power and victory, we stand in one place. Every now and then we rattle the chains. Every now and then we pull. And I get to think sometimes when we walk around in our unforgiveness, it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's not a sincere desire. I want to be depressed. I want to be upset. I want to be hurt. And we know there are all kinds of reasons, but the Bible says that if we forgive, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we forgive, we are set free. If we forgive, we know the joy of the Lord. If we forgive, guess what?
Yes,
we
God.
Feel better than them feeling better.
Man.
What did Jesus teach us in Matthew 6? He taught us what? How to pray.
Hmm.
And in his prayer, he said, the model prayer, it ain't the Lord's prayer, it's the model prayer. He said what? In verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then in verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I don't even want to deal with 15 now, because 15 is the fetters on it. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't even want to go there. We just need to forgive. And guess what? We can't always wait for them to ask us.
Amen.
If we know that somebody's done something to us and it's hurt us, why don't we take the offensive? Why don't we set all of us free? Matter of fact, hey, guess what? I'm sorry, Destiny. I'm sorry for anything I've said. I'm sorry for anything I might have done. I'm sorry for anything I might not have done that have hurt your feelings. And I'm sincere about that. I know there's been times. I've seen it. I know there's been times. You don't have to tell me. I'm sorry now. I don't want no bonds. I don't want no fetters shackling me from doing what God said. So, Destiny, I'm sorry. If there's somebody you know out of Destiny and I didn't answer you when you said something, I looked the other way. Whatever the situation might have been, if it hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry because I don't want nothing to hurt you. I just want you to know the love of Jesus Christ so that you can be free, you can walk in power, you can walk in victory. So hallelujah, don't let unforgiveness be your fetter.
My God, my God.
There's lots of them, y'all. There's lots of them, but don't let unforgiveness be your fetter. Don't let it. Now, we got freedom. We got freedom, y'all. We got freedom, y'all. I want you to know we got freedom from these chains. We got freedom from these bonds. How do you know we got freedom? Well, it's in the word, right? It's in the word. If you look at Luke 6 and 37, look at what it says. It's going to tell you, you got freedom. You got freedom. In Luke 6 and 37, it says this. It says, excuse me. It says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. If you forgive, you shall be forgiven for whatever it is that you've done. That's a guarantee, y'all. All you got to do is let it go.
My God.
So today, whatever that thing is that's hindering in your life, and I'm not going to call out all the specifics. You've had a relationship that's wounded you. No, let me rephrase that. It hurts you. It cut to the core. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. Somebody abused you. And you ain't gonna never let it go. You need to let it go. The minute you let it go, you are free. You feel better. If you don't believe me, talk to somebody who's been there and done that. Let God provide you a spiritual mentor to say, hey, baby, I done been there. Hey, bro, I done been there. Hey, my sister, I done been there. And I found that I'd held on to it for years and I made no progress. But the minute I let that thing go, I soared like an eagle. I'm free. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. When I let God have it and I let go, building walls around us ain't letting it go. That's stopping it from happening again. But when you let it go, it ain't going to happen no more because it ain't going to affect you. Ephesians 4:32 tells us how to do this thing. It tells us what God wants for us. He says in Ephesians 4:32, he says, look, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. If Christ, who was on the cross, dying for us, said, Father, forgive those who were killing him, well, he knew that this was the only way to be set free. So he's telling us. Now, if you got time, when you got time, go read the entire chapter, fourth chapter of Ephesians, because it's going to tell you, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. When you get angry, the devil can walk in. Uh-oh, somebody didn't get that. When you get angry, the devil comes strolling in. Oh, matter of fact, let me tell you this way. When the doors swing open, when you get angry, you open up the door for the devil to walk in.
Yeah,
because that's where he operates. He don't operate in peace. He don't operate in joy. He don't operate in salvation. He operates in anger. He operates in deceit. He operates in fear. He operates in doubt. He operates where you're bound up. Because when you're bound up, you'll see any old kind of thing. But I've been watching the history of the black church. I've been watching it. One thing I've learned about our ancestors that came over on the ship, I understand that whether they were Muslim or whether they were Christian, when they were on the boat, when they got here, they still worked together. I come to tell you, the church down in Charleston, not only is a Christian church, but it's got Muslim writing on the side, because the Muslims said, we're working together for a common goal, that we're going to be set free. And that's my God. God said, I come to set free and set at liberty all those who are lost. I come to release the bonds. I come to take off the shackles. I come to break the fetters. I come to set you free so that you can walk. You can walk and live this life in victory. If you don't believe, go to Colossians 3:13. It says it in Colossians again. Look at what the word of God keeps telling us over and over and over, how he has set us free. Colossians 3, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I come to tell you, we need to be proclaiming this gospel from the rooftops. We need to proclaim this gospel on the bottom of the street. We need to proclaim this gospel in the workplace, in the school place. Why? Because nobody wants to forgive. Everybody's pointing a finger. Everybody's casting doubt. Everybody's sharing hatred. That's why it's never going to change. But I tell you what will change. Those who know the body of Christ, those who have the Holy Spirit on the inside, we need to declare to our brothers and our sisters, I forgive you. You need to forgive me so we can walk in liberty and walk in freedom. We're not walking to hurt one another. We're not walking to condemn one another. We're not walking to chastise one. We're walking in the freedom and the power of God's love.
Yeah.
Somebody knows. You need to get that. You need to get that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So because we've been set free, and I just want to go back. So we see this thing. We're just talking about one thing now. This is one shackle. Unforgiveness is a fetter. Unforgiveness is a shackle. I'm only talking about one. There are a whole lot more, but Christ has set us free from all of them. That's what you know. The fetters can't stop you. Yeah, you might have some other things binding you. You might have a sin that's binding you, but it can't stop you. Because Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, and while he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive him. While he was on the cross, he said, I'm not going to hold it against you. While they were cutting him, he said, I'm not going to hold it against you. While they were gambling over his clothes, I'm not going to hold it against you. While they were rude for him to die, I'm not going to hold him against. While they took you down, I'm not going to hold it against him. While they laid him in a brothel, I'm not going to hold it against him. While they were making fun of him, they put guards on him. While people were doubting him and disciples were running and hiding, said, I'm not going to hold it against. Just like he didn't hold against the disciples, he's not holding against us for denying. But we say, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. That we know that what we can walk in freedom. We know that he's given us the power. He will unleash the power that's in us, that it won't be blocked by our own mind.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
You have the victory. Oh, let me tell you, I don't want to stop there. I just got to tell you, what are the things that set us free from the fetters? Some of the things that set us free, it gives us freedom to forgive, to declare forgiveness. That's in 2 Timothy. Timothy said, look, there's some things that we need to declare, y'all. 2 Timothy 2:9, he says, look, before he says, study to show 15, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Timothy said, oh, I might get in trouble. I might be bound, but guess what you can't do? You can't bind the word of God. So I don't care what condition or state I'm in, whether I'm sick, whether I'm healthy, whether I'm in jail, whether my mind is all messed up, where I can declare the word of God, it will set me free. When I declare the word of God, it will set my friend free. When I declare the word of God, it'll set the stranger free. When I declare the word of God, all things will be set free.
Yeah.
You don't have to know. You know, you got freedom to what? To declare sound doctrine. Titus, so little old Titus, it ain't a big book, only three little chapters back there. But in the second chapter, verses 1-8, Titus said, but speak to all the things which become sound doctrine. Don't be talking about the what I think I know. He said, talk about what the word said. You can go read Titus 1:1-8. He said, look, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity. Charity, love, and patience. The aged woman, likewise. He goes down, talk about the teachers. He goes down talking about to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God would not be blasphemy. The only blasphemy of the word of God is that when you attribute the word of God to an evil spirit, but you can't do that because that ain't sound doctrine. That ain't true. This is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ himself said, go in all things, showing thyself pattern of good works and doctrine showing what? Uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, and verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. When you speak the word of God, it's sound. When you speak the word of God, it's true. When you speak the word of God, it has power. When you speak the word of God, it'll set you free. When you speak the word of God, you can't be bound. You might be in physical chain, your mind might be in chain, but just speak the word that's on the inside and it will set you free.
Hallelujah.
That's what the word, that's just what the word said, y'all. Freedom, freedom declare with grace and so in Colossians again in the fourth chapter, he said, oh, there's a way we need to do this thing, y'all. There's a way we need to talk to one another because not only is it going to be grace, but it's got a little salt thrown into it. So that what? It's healing. Salt was a healing principle, y'all. Salt provided what? Some curing process. Said in 4 and 6, let your speech be always with grace. Grace, season with salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, too many of us, we think about salt as tasting good. No, salt was to heal. See, that's where we miss this thing. When he says grace and salt, he wants it to be healing. He wants it to cure. He wants it to make you whole. The salt, oh, I come to tell you, salt was an awesome thing. We don't eat a lot of salt today because it's not good for our blood pressure. I understand that. But every now and then, I need a little salt because it just makes me, if I take all the salt out of my body, guess what? I'm going to be sick. You need some salt for the body to function right because it's a curing agent. Yes. The salt with the word of God is a curing. Because what he told you are the salt. Somebody don't want to hear that. You are the salt of the earth.
My God.
And you can't lose your flavor. Oh, that's just one thing, y'all. That's just one thing. And one more thing, two more things I'll be done. It said freedom to declare with lips of wisdom. Freedom to declare. There's lips of wisdom. In Proverbs, it talks about a virtuous woman and it talks about a lot of other things. But in Proverbs, it always talks about how we're supposed to speak with wisdom. Because Solomon asked for wisdom, right? And Solomon got wisdom. He didn't always follow it, but he got it. And when he got it and spoke it, it was profound. Proverbs 20 and 15 says what? There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Uh-oh. You can have your gold. You can have your rubies. You can have your cash. You can have your platinum card. You can have anything you want. But the lips of wisdom, the words that come out of your mouth and the doctrine of God and Jesus Christ are words of wisdom. Say that what will preacher. Declare. That will set you free.
Say on, preacher. Say on.
Glory
say
to on. The Lord. Freedom to declare victory over evil talk. If we get to Ephesians, I'm going to leave it right here. I'm going to let it go right here. In Ephesians 4 and 29, look at what God said. You got victory over evil talk. All this network talk, all this Facebook talk, all this back and forth rhetoric talk, Republican, Democrat, non-believer, Proud Boy, I don't care who they are. All of this talk is not victory talk. All of the things that come out of our mouth, if it's not of Jesus and victory, it's best other kind of talk. It's evil talk. Unless we're talking about Jesus and Christ crucified and the victory to have, we need to stop talking evil talk. Let me give you an example before I read this verse. If you say that I can't do that, it's too hard, that's evil talk. That is not my kingdom God. Victory talk. If you say, well, I'll get around to it, you know, I'm trying to grow up, you know, I ain't there yet, that's not kingdom talk. That's evil talk. You're talking defeat and not victory. God did not give you a spirit of fear. God is not a spirit of fear. God said you need to speak with who you are, and that's kingdom talk. He says in Ephesians 4:29, said, look, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The only thing that ought to come out of our mouth is how God loves you and God will save you. The only thing that ought to come out of our mouth is we have power over the enemy. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall commit. In the name of Jesus, depression be gone. In the name of Jesus, I get your healing. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I will say what you want. In the name of Jesus, I forgive you. In the name of Jesus, I declare. In the name of Jesus, I decree. I got to grow a little more. That's defeat talk. That's not of God. When you say, well, I keep staying here, that's defeat talk. That's not of God. God did not die that Jesus. We did not know his love. His love for us is so strong. strong and so powerful. He gave us the keys to the kingdom and the keys of the kingdom and the power of our mouth, the power of the words that come out, Jesus, the confession Jesus. Of who he is. You know what David said? Surely this Philistine giant will not defeat me. And when the giants got to get bad, David said, look, I'm going to cut off your head and serve it on the platter. Y'all know David cut off his head, don't you? David said, what? The Lord my is God. My shepherd. I shall not walk. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk in the midst of where the chains and the bondage of God said, I shall not die. He also, somebody said in Psalms 23, I shall not die, but live and declare the words of the Lord. David finished up 23 and said, surely, there we go. Surely is what? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did not we see? Did not we see Revelation 4 that what? The elders were around the throne saying, holy, 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 do you not know we're on our way to heaven? Do you not know? Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because he was going to die, that he was going to go to heaven, and but not stay there. He's coming back to get us, and he's going to come back to get us because of the things that we have decreed, the things that we have declared. First, we decreed, I love Jesus. Lord, you're my Savior and my Master. Then we decreed that, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I can do all things through you that strengthen me. We decree that in the name of Jesus, I'm going to love you, and no matter what you do, we decree in the name of Jesus, I forgive you. No matter what you've done to me, I forgive you. No matter what you've done to them. Why? Because my Father in heaven forgave me of my sins when I was useless, when I was worthless. He turned me around, and now I'm precious in his sight. And guess what? I decree that you can't stop me. I decree that you can't bind me. I decree that I walk in victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So today, let no evil talk come out of your mouth. Decree kingdom talk. Decree kingdom conversation. Decree the word of God. I am a child of the king. I am wonderfully. I am marvelously made. I am he that was dead, but now am alive. Yes, we were dead on our way to hell, but because we know Jesus the Christ, I'm alive forevermore. I decree that no sickness has control over my body. You might see some things. It might call it cancer. It might call it something else, but that ain't control over me, because no matter what this physical body go, I made my reservation, and I'm on my way to heaven, so you can have a body, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That ain't who I am. I'm a child of the king, and I'm on my way. And here's the best news of all. I decree that I'm on my way to the greatest reunion ever to be had.
My God.
Where I can stand around the throne with the ancestors who've gone before us. I can stand around the throne with those who don't look like me. I can stand around the throne with those who've accepted that Jesus died, was buried and rose. I can stand around the throne for everyone who's been washed with the blood. I can stand around the throne for every one of us who heard the words that Jesus left here. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I can stand around the throne, and I can hear the words being reminded. Father, thank you. He said, your sins are forgiven.
Hallelujah.
So today, because our sins are forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't pick up the fetter of unforgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
Let it go. I don't care if it's mama, daddy, sister, brother. Let it go. Neighbor, friend, coworker, boss, someone reports to, let it go. Hate mongers, let it go. No matter what they say or do, let it go. You know in your life what it is that's got you bound. Where it says, search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. And whatever it is, make it known that I might confess. For Lord, I know your forgiveness is guaranteed. Lord, I know your promise based on your love is everlasting. And I know that you've given me the victory.